Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. One of the causes that Aristotle devotes attention to and distinguishes from other causes in his metaphysics is what we call the material cause, the cause that is the substrate, the hypokeimenon in Greek, or the matter, the houle in Greek, that things are made of. And in examining the theories of his predecessors, which is a typical approach for Aristotle, he likes to survey what other people have had to say about the topic beforehand, he's going to set out and then criticize some earlier philosopher's points of view on matters because they tried to make everything, all explanation about why things are the way they are, and indeed what this universe that we're in consists of, they tried to make it all depend on a material cause or material causes. Some of them were monists, as we call it, who thought everything is really one fundamental substance. And some of them were what we could call pluralists, by contrast to monists, who believed there were many kinds of things that were irreducible to each other. But they all run into the same basic problems. There's the same inadequacies that are running throughout their accounts. Aristotle will talk about a number of different representative important philosophers prior to himself, and one of them, who's often credited as being the first real philosopher because he's saying sort of universal statements about things, his name was Thales, and he was from Miletus, and he said the rather counterintuitive thing that everything is really water. Now, why is that a metaphysical view? Because you are talking about the totality. You are trying to say what everything is made of. And you could say to yourself, he must have been nuts. How could anybody possibly think that everything is water? Well, he had some reasons for that. He looked at the fact that water expands and contracts, and we can see it having three different forms in our everyday experience, at least if we live in places that are cold enough for it to freeze, and we can heat it up and we get vapor and we have the liquid. And he also, according to Aristotle, thought that the seeds of things were moist so that everything living is really in some way a modification of water. And this fits in with this sort of emphasis on the material cause. They were interested in what underlies and persists as being the principle or cause of things. So in his view, it's the water that actually stays the same, not in its qualities. It can be gaseous, or it can be frozen, or it can be dense, it can be rarefied, it can be all different sorts of things, but it's still the same stuff, water, that everything else would just be modifications of, would be composed of. And that's one possibility. Another person, not long after Thales, Anaximenes, said that, no, it's not water, instead it's air. And then Aristotle will bring up yet another pre-Socratic thinker, Heraclitus of Ephesus, who doesn't actually say that everything is composed of fire, but rather that there's a fire running through everything. But Aristotle takes him as being a monist who's holding that everything truly is fire. Now, Heraclitus himself said that everything is in change, in flux. So it's a little bit more of a complex theory, but we can put that aside for the moment. And then he brings up Empedocles, who said, well, all of those things are basic elements, basic substance of the universe, water, air, fire, but to them we'll also add earth. And you put these things together and you can put them in certain compositions. And now you've got what everything is made of. And the idea behind any one of these accounts, like we just said, is that you have something, a material substance, that remains the same throughout all of its changes. And that explains why things are at all and why they are the way that they are. There were some other thinkers along those lines that Aristotle also talks about. And here with Empedocles and Anaxagoras, we're actually getting to thinkers who are going to bring in another cause, but we're going to put that aside for the moment. Anaxagoras, in this discussion, Aristotle said that there couldn't be one single kind of thing, nor could there be a restricted list like, say, four. Rather, there had to be unlimited, apeiron. Some people translate that as infinite. It really just means without limits. So whatever number of basic things there are, we can't know what the number is. And these were first principles. So he said bone comes from bone. Presumably he'd think iron comes from iron. Whatever types of stuff there is, everything comes from what it is. Now, the other group that Aristotle talks about here that kind of fit under this rubric would be what we call the atomists. And these people believed that we have matter, and matter is composed of atoms. Atoms just means the things that you can't cut any further. Tmein means to cut, and ah means can't, or privative, not. And so the atoms are the basic building blocks of things. So you have atoms, and then you have the void or the empty, tokenon. And they identified this, as Aristotle tells us, with being and non-being, but they weren't particularly careful about this, and they said that both being and non-being have being. And the upshot of this for Aristotle is that Leucippus and Democritus are not really advancing the conversation any further. They reduce everything, as he says, to the shape and arrangement and position of atoms. Atoms are of a certain shape that produces certain effects. Arrangements, how are the atoms connected with each other? Where are the atoms in relation to other composites of atoms? And that's it. That's the extent of their theory as far as Aristotle is concerned. And he identifies a set of problems with any account that is going to reduce everything to a material cause. There's something attractive about it, saying, well, if we can just get to the fundamental building blocks, we'll know how everything works. But that doesn't get you a full explanation of things. It can't account, as he's saying, for why the material things are or become what they are and the way they are. You can't account for that fully. One thing that he criticizes them for having ignored, although sometimes, you know, gotten close to figuring out, is what we call the formal cause, the essence, the ousia, or the formula, the to ti esti, what it is to be, that thing. And it's not enough to say of the bronze statue that it's bronze. You've got to account for the form that the statue has, or you're not accounting for that kind of thing. Similarly, think about flesh. Flesh by itself is not yet a human being. You might say, well, you need bones and veins and all that. Yeah, take all that material stuff and throw it all together. It's not yet a living organism that has a form or structure to it. So that's a problem from Aristotle's point of view. Another problem that some of these thinkers, like Anaxagoras and Empedocles, will address is that you need some sort of other cause for explaining why there is motion or change. Why did things go the way that they did? We know that we can take matter, and whatever the matter happens to be, it could take different forms or have different qualities by configuring it in certain ways. What configures it in that way? It's not going to do it just by itself, as Aristotle says. He says, if it is really true that all generation and destruction is out of some one entity or even more than one, Why does that happen, and what is the cause? It's surely not the substrate itself which causes itself to change. That's the problem. The substrate doesn't produce its own change or motion. So he says, what I mean is that neither wood nor bronze is responsible for changing itself. Wood does not become a bed, nor bronze a statue. But something else is the cause of the change. And we can say this even with things that are not human-made artifacts, but other types of bodies that we encounter, living beings, for example. They're going to be affected by something that brings about the change. They may have their principles of motion to some degree within themselves, but some of it will also be caused from the outside, and we need to explain that. The other thing that he says that's important here is that these accounts that say that everything is one substance or even just a set of substances, they're kind of implausible, and they seem rather arbitrary. Why should it be fire? Why should it be water? Why should it be this? Why should it be that? This doesn't provide a full intelligibility to us for the individual things and the cosmos as a whole. And that's part of what metaphysics really ought to supply in Aristotle's view. So these accounts that are based on material causes, whether they're, you might say, proto-scientific or whether they're mythological, they're really not going to cut it. And the problem is, from Aristotle's perspective, they're not recognizing the importance and the contribution of the other three causes. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/Sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.